Sports Beat Extra with Odrin Johnson on Beat.
In late December 2025, the FAI confirmed 15 clubs that would be taking part in the association's new FAI National League, which was set to get underway in late August 2026. Essentially a brand new third tier for the League of Ireland, the inaugural season of the National League will operate a little differently from how it'll work from spring 2027 onwards. This first season sees all 15 teams broken into groups of three, with five teams in each group. The winners of each group alongside the best placed runner-up will then battle it out in the two semi-finals before facing off in the National League final. One of the two South East clubs involved in the debut season is Waterford's Villa FC. I travelled out to the club's ground in the centre of Waterford City earlier this week to catch up with club chairperson Paul Morrissey.
Villa FC was founded back in the early 50s, 1953. It was founded by basically a lot of kids back in the Griffith Place area of Waterford, up in the old part of the city. They're all 14, 15 year old guys, got a team together and got one or two adults involved then as they went on and kind of grew progressively through the 1950s. And we draw from communities all over the city, really, and the central location definitely helps that. Like, you know, kids come in from all corners of the city into here. We've been located here since probably, I think, 1979, 1980. So we're pretty well established here, and, you know, it's great. We have a lot of support in the local community from businesses, people coming around to watch matches, and, you know, generations of people playing with the club and supporting the club. It's brilliant to see.
A club steeped in history, Villa FC have won the Waterford Premier Division title 5 years in a row now, with a new challenge coming down the line in the form of the National League. Paul says the early adoption of the club's academies was a driving factor for the team's success today.
Back in the early 2000s, we created an academy. I think we were probably the first club in the city to kind of have an underage academy. Up to that, ourselves and every other club, we started playing football at under 10, under 11, but we created an underage academy for 5-6 year olds, and that grew and grew and grew, and the quality of player we had coming through started really rapidly improving, and we became a hell of a lot more successful at schoolboy level. Took a while for that to feed through to adult level, and Connor came in, I think it was 2019, and certainly brought a hugely organised aspect to it, and we got some of the guys that have been inside the Waterford FC underage system back in, and, you know, it just improved year on year on year to the status we're at now, which is, you know, one of the leading amateur teams in the country.
That originally academy setup you mentioned, like, where was that sort of conceived? What was the idea behind that at the time? Because as you mentioned, it probably was the first one in Waterford.
Yeah, it was, well, I suppose we, from the mid-90s on, I think we kind of became a lot more progressive from a coaching perspective. A lot of the guys on the club started kind of investing time and energy into getting coaching qualifications, and they saw academy as the route to kind of build the strength of the club. It started off, actually, there's a pitch up behind it's the Sacred Heart Church. It's part of St. John's College ground. That's where we used to have our academy. Then we moved to Newtown School for a good few years, and our academy is back down here in the last 3 years or so. We would have 180, 200 kids between boys and girls here every week. The girls' side is really rapidly growing as well, so we could have 70 girls here on a Saturday morning. It's fantastic to see. It's a really rapidly growing side of football in general, not just in our club. You know.
For Villa's first team manager, Conor Code, the prospect of a new tier of Irish football presented the perfect opportunity to raise the club's level.
Probably more of a natural progression for the group in terms of, you know, Waterford Premier League. Now we've won it kind of 5 years in a row, and with the FAI looking at an overall pyramid system to come in over the next, you know, 5+ years, we knew there was going to be a tier 3 and then potentially tier 3, 4 or 5 after it, and joining up with the junior leagues and local leagues and intermediate leagues around the country. So we kind of felt as if tier 3 was a decent step for where we're at now. We didn't want to, you know, wait and end up maybe in a tier 5 or 6 in a 3 or 4 years time and then build up the levels, and we kind of felt ready to take the step now. The group, in particular group of players that are there, want to play competitive games. You know, they want to be challenged week in, week out. They want to have to train properly to prepare for the weekend. So again, for them in particular, once we had a couple of conversations, they were really eager to take on the challenge. Again, for myself and Paddy that are, and Paul are looking after the team since kind of early doors, and then we've had Adrian Walsh come in as well, who's been a fantastic addition to the group. You know, we're, I suppose, ourselves looking after it a long time, and we kind of wanted a fresh challenge as well, a fresh journey with it. So that's something that's really exciting too, because again, while it's fantastic to be able to win our local league, once you win it a couple of times, you see the hunger diminish a little bit with the group. It's hard to keep motivation and hard to keep standards as high. So a fresh challenge for that is something that we think will bring more out of the group again, because the age profile of our group is still very, very young. I still don't think they're in their, you know, peak phase as a group, because of that age profile is still, you know, we've only one player that's over 30. So I think over the next 5 years with the core group that we've got, they've got their best football ahead of them.
You mentioned obviously if, you know, a group locally wins five in a row, like, then that hunger kind of diminishes. Did you notice, even I suppose from a training perspective, when this National League was becoming a reality and you were in it, and even when the group stage was released, that there was probably a bit of a switch up from some of the players in training, kind of wanting to prove their point as to why they should be in that squad?
Yeah, it was probably in around December time, January time, that we kind of knew that the approval was there from the FAI to go into Tier 3, and that kind of coincided with us coming back for a pre-season for this year. And the pre-season that we had this year was the best one we've had to date in terms of the level of the training sessions, the kind of the condition that the lads came back in, the level of games that we played. We played some real high quality teams in that pre-season that we were tested week in, week out, and just seeing the level that the lads were operating at that stage week in, week out was fantastic. So again, that's something that we think Tier 3 will bring out in them, you know, the best of them. So yeah, that group wants to be challenged, that group wants to be pushed, they want competition. So that's probably the main rationale on pitch for why you know, we're making the step we are as a club.
With the inaugural season of the National League being a little bit different to how it's set to line out in the future, there's no possibility of promotion to the League of Ireland First Division yet. Regardless of that, however, Code believes there's a lot of good work to be done both on and off the pitch in the next few years before even considering the possibility of First Division football.
Yeah, again, we'd probably be just interested in, you know, taking it a season at a time, because it's still so early doors with the whole concept of a pyramid system. It would be very difficult to get out of the Tier 3 into a League of Ireland First Division for a couple of factors. One, obviously, on pitch you have to earn your way there, and that would mean winning your league. There might be some sort of playoff system in around that with top, you know, 3-4, so you'd have to become the national winners overall between both the southern and the northern section, and then you'd have to win a playoff against the bottom First Division team, which again, it would be a big challenge obviously in terms of First Division team would have a much bigger budget, I'd imagine, than any of the Tier 3 teams. So that'll be an interesting one to see kind of how difficult that is on pitch. But in off pitch, you'd also have to qualify for a First Division licence, which there's a lot of work involved in. The Tier 3 application, while it was, you know, difficult enough, we ticked a lot of the boxes and we were okay with a bit of hard work put in, whereas the First Division licence would be a significant step up that would take a couple of years for us as a club to be in a position to look at. So, Tier 3 is probably a good natural step for us right now. And if we can go and do really well at Tier 3 and perform on and off pitch like we'd hope to do so. We wouldn't know in a couple of years' time if becoming a League of Ireland club in the First Division is, you know, a realistic option. It's something that I'd love to see down here. I think a lot of our players have played at that level. We've a few players in our squad that have won a First Division. So again, and there's experience there and there's know-how there. So it's not something that we'd be overly afraid of, but it's something that we'd need to make sure is the right kind of transition into if that time did come. And again, we'd be working as well as we can on pitch to make sure that we're ready to make steps as they come. And I know the club, in terms of how we're kind of restructuring things now off pitch, is it's in a really, really good place to kind of help that transition happen more smoothly.
Do you think if you look back to 1953, do you think that they would have ever visited this one where the club was?
No, absolutely not. I mean, look, it's different times. It was innocent times, I suppose, and, you know, kids were playing football on the roads, and that's really where the idea of the club came from, was a bunch of pals playing football on the road and decided to get their own team together, and, you know, they were hitching lifts on the back of trucks out to go play matches and kill Mac Thomas and all this kind of stuff. There's no way. You know, there's great stories from back then, like, but I'd say they wouldn't have foreseen what way the club has evolved. Like Frankie O'Byrne, I suppose, would have been synonymous with the club. He was involved in the founding of the club way back when. He died probably 18, 19 years ago at that stage. It was great that he kind of lived long enough to see the progression of the club. The facility here had grown, you know, on pitch we had grown, but even since then, it's kicked on again, like, you know. So, but I can't imagine the founding fathers of the club would have seen this, like, back then, like, or foreseen this back then. Yeah.